and a Chevrolet Camaro, the Flint Assembly Plant, which produces pickup trucks, and the Critical Lake Orion Plant, which produces a Chevrolet Bolt EV and EUV. An anonymous UAW representative nervously told the Detroit Free Press that a strike, quote, could shut down production in a matter of hours, depending on what GM's plan is. That means it could idle the 500 workers at Lear and 300 to 400 at Flint Metal and 5,500 at Flint Assembly. The potential walkout by GM Subsystems takes place amid a growing wave of militancy among auto workers, which is increasingly taking the form of a direct rebellion against the UAW. On Monday, auto parts workers at Ventra Evart in Michigan voted down a UAW-endorsed contract by nearly 95%. CNH farm and heavy equipment workers in Wisconsin and Iowa, meanwhile, have been on strike for nearly 2 months, fighting to reverse concessions previously imposed by the UAW. On Wednesday, a letter was released to UAW members from Vice President Terry Diddes, ordering GM workers to cross picket lines. As a General Motors employee covered by paragraph 117 of 2019 UAW-GM National Agreement, you must continue to report to work in the event of a strike by the subsystems unit, the letter stated. In addition, you may not take part in the picketing that will accompany a strike. A separate letter addressed to maintenance workers employed by Aramark at the plants states they may honor picket lines if you choose. End quote. The 2019 GM contract cited by Diddes was the illegitimate product of the UAW sellout of the six-week-long strike of 46,000 GM workers, which had won the support of auto and other workers internationally. Within weeks of the UAW ramming the contract through in October, then UAW President Gary Jones would resign in disgrace and later plead guilty for his role in embezzling auto workers' dues. Among other UAW officials who negotiated and signed the 2019 agreement, which sanctioned the closure of the Lordstown, Ohio assembly plant and other factories, were Derek and Justin Jewell. They are the sons of former UAW Vice President for Fiat Chrysler, Norwood Jewell, who was charged and convicted in early 2020 for his role in a million-dollar bribery scheme in the UAW. As is widely known by auto workers, the 2019 Big Three contracts, not to mention a series of brutal contracts before them, were negotiated in bad faith, with the process overseen by criminals who were either on the take from the companies or rampantly stealing workers' dues. Workers at GM should organize now to carry out common action with their brothers and sisters at subsystems and defy the pro-company orders from Solidarity House to cross picket lines and act as strikebreakers. Contrary to the endless efforts of the UAW bureaucracy to divide and weaken workers, it will only be through a common fight that the tier system and lowering of wages will finally be reversed. With the cooperation of the UAW, GM has used GM subsystems to create, in effect, yet another tier of hyper-exploited workers. Subsystem workers generally start at just $15 an hour and top out at $17 an hour, about half the pay for first-tier assembly workers who make around $31 an hour. In 2018, UAW Vice President for General Motors, Cindy Estrada, with the support of the leadership of UAW Local 5960 at the Lake Orion plant, signed a Memorandum of Understanding, or an MOU, behind workers' backs, allowing the replacement of 150 full-time workers with lower-wage workers. The UAW claimed that such a deal was necessary to save jobs. The UAW's secret agreement with the company provoked outrage among workers when it was revealed. In May 2018, workers angrily confronted union officials at a packed meeting over the deal. A letter was circulated by workers beforehand, denouncing the UAW's actions, stating, "The time to act is now against the mistreatment and mismanagement of our collective workforce. both the UAW and GM have decided that it is in our best interest to outsource the material department without first consulting the membership here at Orion Assembly. Our local leadership admittedly signed the MOU in February and withheld this information from us. This is, at minimum, a violation of our right to fair representation and collective bargaining. The Lake Orion plant was initially slated for closure as part of the Obama administration's restructuring of the auto industry following the 2008 market crash. Lake Orion reopened in 2011 under a UAW-stamped sellout agreement. GM reversed the decision to close its Detroit Hamtramck factory after the UAW handed over concessions in the 2019 contract. GM then axed its remaining 800 employees and retooled to begin production on electric vehicles. The facility opened in November 2021, and like Lake Orion and many other Big Three plants, includes a multi-tiered pay scale for its employees. In the scramble to dominate electric vehicle technologies and markets, the automakers are accelerating their attempts to lower wages and further undermine workplace protections. In addition to GM's use of subsystem workers in its EV operations, Ford Motor Company has been working to extract concessions from workers in Germany and Spain. The company has collaborated closely with the German and Spanish unions and works councils to pit workers in a fratricidal race to the bottom in the name of saving jobs and winning new EV models. Whether in Europe or the US, the pro-corporate unions have repeatedly shown their willingness to offer up cost cuts and create new categories of low-paid workers as long as the flow of dues money is maintained. A GM worker told the World Socialist website Autoworker Newsletter that GM subsystem workers deserve support. But that's not the UAW International's position. They are divide and conquer for the glory of the money GM will give them. I can't believe I pay for this crap. When we were on strike, we finally had the company ready to come to the table. The UAW didn't even bother to get COLA back. We got nothing from that strike. The UAW is a wolf in sheep's clothing, he continued. The union leaders are part of the oligarchy now. Nothing good will come without a struggle. The working class must unite against the ownership class. End quote. GM subsystem workers should take their cue from fellow UAW members at Ventra, a subsidiary of Flex and Gate, who have organized a rank-and-file committee to demand substantial wage increases and the removal of the bargaining committee which negotiated the sellout agreements workers voted down Monday. At the same time, the struggle of GM subsystem workers requires the active support of workers throughout the Big Three and auto part plants.
For these and other articles, visit the World Socialist website at www.wsws.org.
They told me, you know, we'll give you a day, we'll give you a week, however long it takes for you to accept our help to be healed and to become a child of God and denounce being gay.
Honoring the memory of Dr. Anonymous, coming up on the Rainbow Minute.
So up next on your computer dial, because we're on the net and not on the air until we regain either a studio, Free Radio Santa Cruz Collective, or an antenna. But this is going to be kind of a combination romp and I don't call it nostalgia or maybe learn from the past show. I've been having technical computer problems, and I also had a Huff meeting today. Kind of a packed meeting. Well, certainly a lot of people around the table. And I haven't had a lot of time to kind of wrestle with my computer. So I'm only able to get in one interview, which I did with a Benchlands resident named Troy, who, if you're a regular listener, you may have heard him about half a year ago, or actually more, calling me at 11:30 at night, holding off the police by pointing out that the Martin versus Boise says, if you're going to move me, you got to move me somewhere. And the police finally backed off. He came to our Huff meeting, but before that, he spoke to us on the line. You're going to be hearing that. And I'm not going to play the usual intro, the Sing Me a Song of Social Significance intro, because you're going to be hearing it with the flashback. And I'll tell you about the flashback now. The flashback is from 12-28-20. That is to say, December 28th, 2020, which was the actually, the show was played on the 30th, but the flashback is from San Lorenzo Park confrontation with and prep for confrontation with the defense of the park residents and holding off the police from destroying the homes and routing the people in the park, and which resulted, of course, as you're going to hear, as you already know, if you've been around that time or you know a little of the history, the injunction being secured by Anthony Prince, Alicia Kuhl, Keith McHenry, and the Union of the Homeless and the people who helped put that injunction together the very next day, or actually had been put together in the weeks and months beforehand, but only reached the court and then reached the judge's pen and then reached the city manager, then Martin Bernal, who was trying to orchestrate this demolition of the San Lorenzo campground. And, of course, that's coming around again. You'll be hearing more on Sunday, hopefully, if I can get my computer into operational shape, though it seems to be doing better than it was earlier today, about the apparently Jeremy Leonard and the bulldozers, or the attempt to stuff the elderly folks that are being evicted both from the Oceana and today being the 30th, if you're listening to this on Thursday night, the 30th of June, 2022, the day where the armory was emptied and with no place for those folks to go, at least for the present time. And essentially, in order to deal with this humanitarian crisis, the people in the benchlands are now being pressed to move outside in tents so that the seniors can move into the benchlands, which has become a so-called sanctioned campground. And that's kind of a real laugh for those of us who recognize the inadequacy of the benchlands. But, of course, if you haven't got anything better, you camp where you can. But, of course, the city is using this as an excuse to drive people away from everywhere else in the city and to excuse their failing to provide resources for the majority of the homeless folks in Santa Cruz, but instead doing creaming and special projects and budget stuffing in other places, and blaming the county and their failure to cooperate, and blaming the homeless themselves, blaming everybody, blaming council members who are tried to deal with this issue years ago. They recalled them instead. So all that is happening. And this particular flashback begins, I kind of showed up in the early morning at San Lorenzo Park when there were barriers that people had set up because folks had originally been in the upper San Lorenzo Park, of the duck pond, from which they've now been driven away, of course, for the last 2 years. But they were there at this time, and barricades have been set up. You'll hear an interview with Micah Posner. Lines were formed with respect to holding off the police. You'll hear Leanne Sherwood, Light, Barbara Lawrence, and others waiting for the police. And then there's the confrontation with the police, some of it, although in order to get the full force of this, you might want to turn to the succeeding show, which you can go to by going to latest shows and then scrolling down to the Sunday, January 3rd, 2021 show. That's the first show of that year. And actually, I am going to correct myself. This flashback is for the Thursday, December 31st, 2020 show. That's the last day of the year and the last show of 2020. And, of course, it concerns events happened on December 28th, 3 days before. So enjoy it. Listen to it. But first, you're going to hear a call-in that happened this morning on June 30th, 2022, from Troy, a Benchlands camper. And on Sunday, I expect to be playing much of the Huff meeting, in which Troy also showed up, and so did a bunch of other folks who resulted in kind of an interesting conversation. And we're also going to have, I suspect, a lot more on that show, because it looks like the city, through the agency of Jeremy Leonard, is improperly pressuring campers to leave, threatening to demolish their encampments. And at least that's the report from Greg, who called me earlier today, and we'll be hearing more of that, unfortunately, at the next opportunity when I have to speak to you, or when I take that opportunity. Okay, well, it is, it's about 9:30 on the 30th of June, 2022. I'm talking on the phone with Troy. Hi, Troy.
Hello.
And you may be showing up at a Huff meeting today, and you're off to a job too, but you called because you had some thoughts.
Yeah. About about being homeless in Santa Cruz.
Tell me.
Well, maybe Mr. North, I've been experiencing a lot of kind of like bias or prejudice against me just profiling, like by public. I mean, there's a lot of good people here, but there's a lot of bad people and haters. And the other day I was going to one of the hotels and getting some ice, and one of the camp members had paid this hotel like $5 and so we could have ice. He told me it was he paid $5 for a week so we could go there a couple times a week and get ice. And when I went there, the guy told me I had to pay myself. I told him I didn't have the money, so he told me give me the ice. And when I told him no, because it was in my bag, the dude actually like swung at me and almost hit me in the face. And
wow.
I got pretty angry, and it was I kind of like tried to hit him with the ice bag, and he grabbed it and threw it on the ground, and I left, and I was pretty mad. Another thing, Starbucks, I've been going over there with this cup I bought. Everywhere in America you go with the Starbucks cup that you buy, the permanent cups or whatever,
right,
it's refilled for 50 cents. Well, here on Ocean Street, the manager says, only same day, same visit, same cup, so he won't, I mean, I don't have $3.20 for the cup of coffee. And all his other employees were really nice, but he will not let me have coffee for a retail price unless it's the same day, same visit, same cup.
What's this guy's, do you have this guy's name by any chance?
No, I don't.
What does he look like?
Just a manager at the Ocean Street.
Black, white, Hispanic, man, woman. About your height, a little taller, a little shorter.
Shorter, little greasy, oily hair. I'm clean cut looking, and I think he's kind of effeminate, but whatever.
Mm-hmm. And so he is requiring you to pay a full cup of coffee unless you're sitting there refilling a cup having paid full price, or what's the story? Remind me, clarify that again for me, could you?
Well, I guess the policy is if you buy a cup of coffee at Starbucks and you stay there and do your work or chill and relax with friends, you won't go up and get another cup of coffee for 40 cents.
Right.
Well, I go there and I have a cup that I bought that I ask them to refill for me, even if I haven't been there yet that day. And they use all the everybody everywhere in America I've ever went to always does it if you have a Starbucks cup, either a paper one or one you bought. Well, the paper ones, I know that the policy is that you can same day, same visit for the paper cups. But the ones that are that you buy that are a permanent cup, they're supposed to be any time, any visit, they're supposed to be a retail for 40 cents. But then again, I could be wrong about that, too. But I just feel like I'm being profiled, and they just they hate us. And it's like we're Americans. We're children of America. And people, my dad, my uncle both served in, you know, the Army, and my uncle in Vietnam, and my grandpa. I mean, our families sweated blood and sacrificed for this nation and paid taxes. And it's like we're treated like scum. And it's like, I don't know. I think it's America. We're America's children. They should take care of us. I mean, whether we're mentally ill, addicted to drugs, or just poor and homeless on the streets, I mean, they shouldn't be so hateful towards us, because not all of us are scumbags, and a lot of us do care about our life and the lives of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are getting hurt and even dying because of this callousness towards poverty.
Now, are you still living in the Benchlands?
Yes.
How is it?
Well, it's tedious because I guess I'm starting to make some progress in getting people not that we don't want to steal from each other, because we're always losing our phones or breaking stuff or people take it. And we're working on getting a kind of a community mind of not stealing from one another.
Mm-hmm.
Slow going, but there's progress is being made. But, you know, the best thing would be if we weren't stealing from the community either. If the community was helping us and giving us what we need to live and survive and thrive and not be, hateful to each other. Like I said, we're America's children, and we need help, you know. It's not the...
So this hotel, that it was a paradox you're talking about?
What's that?
Which hotel did the ICE thing? And where is that?
It's on Water Street, by the... it used to be a Ramada.
Huh.
It's by the tire place. Goodyear Tires or Union Tire or something.
I should know it. Doesn't immediately ring a bell. Are you still able to go to those places, or have you avoided them as a consequence of these incidents?
I'm not going to be going to either one of those places again. It's really hard for me not to try to be like angry or vengeful about it. You know what I mean?
Dig it.
I understand how some of these people who don't have much of a conscience, they get to a point where they don't care no more either. And then they just act a fool, and they don't help anybody else or help themselves.
But are more people coming into the Benchlands, or is it staying steady? They did. They closed the armory, but it opens up in another month under city management rather than county management, is what they say in the papers, anyway.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So we get more new faces every day, and some of the blank spots are getting taken up. But this is a pretty good camp here, I guess. According to some people that have traveled around, like San Francisco or different parts of California or even America in the homeless camps, a lot of places have a hierarchy of like the drug dealers are like kingpins, and they have groups of guys that go around and make people give them money or, you know, the protection fees, like the mob. And then if they don't do it or they shoot someone over, they send, you know, gangs after them. So they said we're pretty smooth here because there's a lot more love among the homeless here in Santa Cruz than there is other places. But I don't know. You know, I lost somebody here, so I'm kind of...
You're talking about a A drug death?
What's that?
Is that a drug death you're talking about, or?
Supposedly, but she didn't use the drug they say she died of. She never, ever put a needle in her arm, and she never, ever used
It was a health problem of some kind?
What's that?
A health problem or some other unnatural death?
She said it was an overdose of heroin, but it wasn't. I mean, I don't know. It took them 6 months to tell me that she died of an overdose of heroin, but as far as I know and everybody else that knew her, she never did it.
Name of the person, if you wish to say?
Loretta Marks.
Loretta Marks?
Yeah, she died of...
Huh. I've never heard of her, but a lot of people. So, what's the percentage of women in the Benchlands, what would you estimate, Troy?
Percentage of women here?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd say 45%.
Wow. And
40%?
And if you are, what's the situation for food in the Benchlands? Is Mama Shannon still doing her cupboard? Is Keith still giving food? Food Not Bombs, what's going on with that?
She has a food pantry set up there, and then a lot of people come there to grab food. Even for me, myself, I know I've spent many hungry days just because my food stamps ran out, and I was helping other people because that's all I got. I have to be that way. I can't let other people go hungry, and, you know, I don't know what they do with their stamps, if they sell them or whatever, but kind of, I don't know, I just... There's not really a lot of outlets anymore after COVID for, like, to eat and food stuff. I mean, there's a, up on Willow Street in, I don't know the name of it, but there's this little house that's got a food pantry right outside, and it's free food, and they got a refrigerator. It's all dilapidated, and the other night I went by there, and I got a bunch of nice free food and so I could eat.
Is that a regular thing, or is that just a one-time thing?
It's a regular thing, I guess, but I just found it, and I've been here 4 years, and I didn't know about this little house with their little food pantry thing. It's kind of cool.
Is this what, you're not talking about Morris Street in St. Francis Soup Kitchen. That's not what you're talking about.
No, I'm talking about the top of the hill off of Laurel. When you get to the top of the hill, go right to the high school and left to Bay Street. It's like right around the corner, half a block down on the right side.
Huh. I don't know. If you come to the meeting today, you can tell folks about it and maybe describe it again because they might be interested. There aren't that many folks who are homeless at this meeting, but there's some. Usually depends, and it's it's good information. It sounds like.
Yeah, I don't know that they have a lot of stuff there. But they had enough for me for that night, so a couple items that were very helpful. I was very grateful to have that.
Right on. Are more people returning?
Well, not survival of the stuff we find in garbage cans or on the curb. Like, we call them ground scores.
Right.
So we go around looking and we find that stuff, and then we'll either try to sell it for a couple bucks so we can have some cigarettes or people sell it for, drugs. I mean, crystal meth is pretty bad here.
What's your estimate, Troy, of the number of people, the percentage of people who are regular users of hard drugs in the camp?
50%.
Yeah, what percentage? 50%, 20%, 80%? What do you think?
I'd say 50%. Okay. Although, honestly, in the scope of things, I consider crystal is not that hard of a drug. Mm-hmm. Depends on how hard you use it.
Right.
But fentanyl and heroin, those are hard. And I think crack and cocaine are pretty hard, but they're not here a lot. There's not a lot of that here. I'm telling you, honestly, I think a lot of people who end up on the streets and poor, a lot of them don't even use drugs when they get to that point, And then when they get out here, it's like things just go south and everybody around them is doing that kind of thing, so then they become known to the herd, you know what I mean? It's just like, everybody else is doing this, we're going to do it because, we ain't got no other hope or no other opportunities or, you know, some money to just get high when we can and die when we do. It's kind of, you know, a lot of attitude.
I got you. Is there any... some people claim that there's a large influx of drug dealers who are actually, they don't, you know, they aren't homeless, but they sort of hang out in the camp in order to, you know, make profit or supply needs, if you want to look at it from that perspective. What's your sense about that? Are people coming into the camp who aren't homeless, who set up shop there for a while? Is there much of that?
There's people that do that. That have like they have their own houses and stuff. I don't think there's a lot of that. Maybe a little bit, but some people have two spots just in case all their stuff gets stolen at one spot. They got a backup. But people from like the community come here to buy drugs. And then you got the people from the community that are from the Take Back Santa Cruz that take our pictures and they watch us.
Is that still happening much, or have you seen that happen in the last week or two?
I think it's very amped up, Robert, because I think that the powers that be just hate us and they want us gone. We're like a sore spot. They want a pretty little utopia where no problems and, you know, push it under the rugs. Mm-hmm. Everything's pretty. And it's sad because, you know, it's not pretty, and it's something that we could do something about very easily.
There was a concert last Saturday at the Duck Pond. Did you get to it, or did you know anybody who did?
Yeah. Some people liked it, some people thought it was dumb.
I mean, there was a cleanup and a concert. What was your take on that?
It was a good activity, but I think it was more of a distraction. Like, let's keep the people occupied here at the event stand so they don't come down to the beach or to the Pacific Street and make us look bad.
Did you have much input from the community that were not in the benchlands? Were there many people who came from outside?
Maybe 10 or 20.
And how many people from the benchlands attended the Saturday thing?
Maybe about 20 or 30.
And, so your sense was it was so-so, helpful, not helpful? What do you think?
It's nice. I mean, it's that. Anyways, why did they do it just because of us?
No, I don't think so. I think that's the San Lorenzo neighborhood group. But I wouldn't know because I didn't go to it. You did. Did you spend much time there, or did you go to it?
Well, I didn't go to it. I live here, so I went by a few times and saw people enjoying themselves. And
I see.
People enjoyed it.
I heard that Jeremy Leonard is running around inviting people or telling people that he's got places for them up at the golf lands or the lookout or whatever the heck it's called up, you know, the armory area. But I think it's still tents outside. Have you seen much of that?
Yes, he's been trying to recruit people all the time. And a lot of the people that are here don't want to have the restriction of not being able to leave unless they jump in a van and get a ride. And especially the time schedules, like the last one is at 7:30 at night, and some people like, I mean, we're all adults, people like to stay out later than that, especially with our the lifestyle that we've accrued being out here in the dirt and the muck. And it is really dirty. It's so sad that we have to live in such filth.
I've seen a rat problem. Is that increasing?
Yes, they're definitely breeding. Yeah, it's par for the course. I mean, we're people, and so we have, you know, we steal food. We make, you know, we don't not politically organized around here to have everything. And it's dirty. It's dirty. It's hard to keep clean, you know?
Right on. Shower situation is what, once a week or something? What's the deal with that?
On Fridays, they have shower trailers that come here, but they also have one that's at the storage center down to defend the levees. Then every day is at Housing Matters. But the first time I went to Housing Matters when they had the black mold, and they gave away my backpack with my birth certificate, ID, all that stuff. The first day they had the showers there, HPA, like 2 years ago, I gave all my stuff away.
Did you ever go back?
Yeah, I've gone back and taken showers there since then.
Has it improved?
Yeah.
Good.
It's like the only place where we can get like a hot shower, and sometimes the water ain't even hot there.
And they let you have? Did they let you eat there, or is it still banned unless you're in the program?
Yeah, you still have to be in the program. Unless you get there at a certain time and you're talking to one of the people there and say, can I eat some lunch? Whatever, then they might let you, but otherwise, no, you can't just come here and eat. You can still get a bag of lunch from St. Francis Soup Kitchen at 12 o'clock, and you still go to Food Not Bombs downtown or the Salvation Army. But other than that, there's really, unless you got food stamps or something, find a ground score or a food donation or something, there's people that come up here and serve us.
How about the senior meal?
Went to it.
I got you. I understand that one of the things they've said at City Council when they weren't just jabbering away, well, they were jabbering away all the time, but was that they're trying to stop people from returning to the benchlands after they've left. Have you seen any of that? Yeah, the 1220 River Street?
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, but the authorities like the Parks and Rec, Rangers, or the cops are not stopping people from returning to the benchlands, right?
I have a couple of friends, and he works. He's got a job up in Boulder Creek or something, contractor. But the sheriff's up there, every time they see him and his girlfriend and the dog with their belongings, they pull them over and put them in jail.
Wow. When was the last time that happened?
Last weekend, and it's cost him over like $1,600 to get his girlfriend out of jail, get his dog out of the pound.
What's the charge?
To bail himself out. Oh, he got thrown in for a probation violation because he was with his girlfriend.
Well, you know, that's criminal behavior, for heaven's sake.
He was in jail for like 9 months that he got the probation or whatever. And then when he got out, there was like the human services or HVH, helped her put a restraining order. But they're back together because, you know what I mean? And so now they're trying to get the restraining order lifted, but they won't take it off. It's like he's paid $600 to $300 once. They didn't get the paperwork through something, so he had to pay it again, and it still didn't go through. They're trying to fix it, but it's like...
Troy, ask him to give me a call if he wants to talk about it so we can put out the story more broadly.
When I called you about last time when I was talking to you and told you about their belongings and went to jail.
Yeah, but I mean, did he talk about it directly? I don't remember.
No, he never called you back. He gave me Steve Pleitz's phone number, and they never called him either.
That's all right. Well, if it happens, it'll be good. If it doesn't, I guess. Again, let me ask you one more time: if you saw any of this, the threat that the city manager has said that he's not going to let people come back to the benchlands once they've gone, let's say, up to 1220, or once they've gone to the lookout or whatever it is, the armory area, and then they decide they don't like it and they leave, they want to go back to the benchlands, and also they won't allow new people to come into the benchlands. But are you telling me that they're not stopping people anyway? People are coming into the benchlands, even people who've left.
Yeah, people get out of jail every day. People could travel and come back to Santa Cruz from wherever they went. And no, they're not. I don't know. I didn't like take him up on his offer and go up there and come back. But it's like I know that that's just one way to put in their rules on people that don't have any reason to follow rules. You know what I mean?
Mm.
With the fire department coming down here when we have a fire and we're cold, and we got and I got 8 firemen coming down saying this fire is illegal, and my food cooker, my grill, and then they squirted it, they put it out with their hose, and I 8 firemen. I was like, really, okay.
When was this?
You know, I can't even cook my tubing in the can. That's because, you know, I can't afford propane, so I use wood or whatever, and they come down and put my fire out. And
have there been any you know, bad fires that have hit the tents recently?
I think there was one last week that someone there was an accident down on the other end.
Mm-hmm. And how is that dealt with? The fire department, or did the people pit it out themselves?
I think they got it taken care of before any authorities were notified.
Wow.
I'm not sure.
Well, is there more stuff you want to tell me, or should we leave it at this? Because I got to get ready for this Huff meeting, and you've given me quite a bunch.
Well, you know that I just think it's ridiculous. I think some of the funds that they use to take care of us, to get from Uncle Sam, I think they're using them to buy an electric car so that the security guard at the courthouse can have something to ride around in. I told him this morning he's going to get fat. And then yesterday I saw tan shirts walking around downtown or toward the park, and then they got the 2 4-wheel cops on four-wheelers and cops on bicycles. It's like they're just looking for excuses to either lock us up or make us obey. You know what I mean? And we don't got no money. We don't got no income. We're just trying to survive, and they're worried about, you know, other freaking laws. And I don't know. It's just, it kind of sucks because, I mean, if we were given what we need, we'd be more apt to follow the laws. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
And I'm a good guy. I think I'm a good person, and I don't get what I need. I mean, it sucks. It really sucks.
And it's wrong. That's the point. Well, listen, I'm gonna roll on you, but I'll give you the last word. Give me more if you want to.
Okay. I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah, call me again if you want. And again, if you want to show it to meeting, that would be great.
All right. Great talking to you, Robert.
You too, man. Bye-bye.
Have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
Well, lots has been happening the last few days in San Lorenzo Park. Not all of it good and not all of it bad, but the most recent developments are probably well covered by both mainstream and alternate media, as well as it's a hop, skip, and a jump down to San Lorenzo Park, and you can talk to folks down there yourself, and that's really the best thing to do, particularly if you want to be helpful. Or if you have some questions, you're critical of what's going on, and you want to get a closer view and get an understanding of how could people be supporting these dirty, wretched campers with their nasty needle campsites. As some people, you're going to hear a voice or two that says that in the interviews that I'm going to be playing today, what they say. Best to use your own eyes and check things out yourself. You're going to hear some things from my perspective, some things from the perspective of others I spoke with there. But, you know, it's always best to come to your own conclusions if you can. And also, it's healthier that way in your own evaluating both what the truth is for yourself and being a part of the community and passing on what you know. And that's, I think, really important. Mainstream media has really been horribly deficient in dealing with some basic issues, and I'll be bringing that up and maybe playing a blurb or two of mainstream media, which is the Sentinel, KSBW, KOIN. I don't know about KSCO. I haven't checked them out. But, again, mostly this broadcast is going to be interviews from San Lorenzo Park and my commentary about that. Plus whatever I kind of feel like throwing in now and then. As usual, if you have any comments to add, if you want to be a part of, if you are a part of the scene, and you probably are if you're local in one way or another, and you want to have your views known and talked about, give me a call, and I will talk to you, and we'll see if you want to be put on the, we aren't on the air, but you can be put on the net as part of the show at 423-4833. We can't do a direct phone line into a netcast at the moment yet, but I can record an interview with you and put it on later. So let's go.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
So let's begin with the actual kind of the top news of the well, today and yesterday, which you've probably read about already if you've been following the situation at San Lorenzo Park and the remains of the survival campers there, as well as the activists and community members supporting them, who for several days and indeed a week before as well, set up barricades in order to stop Andy Mills' blue shirts, as we might call them, the Santa Cruz Police Department, improperly charged with the mission of relocating homeless people to nowhere in particular with no available shelter. And this is the main thing that didn't get out on mainstream media at KSBW and I don't know about KOIN, but what I was kind of hearing in fragmentarily as I wandered through the rooms of those listening to those broadcasts. I mean, for those of you who have been listening to this show or following this issue at all, I don't need to say anything more, really. But for those who haven't, Santa Cruz has, 1,000 or 2,000 homeless people in it. They're in the middle of a lockdown, although homeless people are supposedly, it's a little unclear if they're excluded from the lockdown or not. In fact, one of the arguments of the lawsuit that was filed and is now going to be heard next Tuesday in federal court in San Jose is that the shelter-in-place order does impact and apply to homeless people as well. And because it does, the city's move on the homeless, its eviction order, its destruction of their property, its creation of, as various speakers have put it, further trauma around, among homeless people, just injustice in freezing cold weather. Not right under 32 degrees most of the time, but pretty damn cold if you're living in a tent outside. And to be moved about from place to place, losing the community that you've been in, and many of these folks have been in this place for 6 months there, in order to, I don't know, repair the grass in the middle of winter, it's pretty thin pretext. It seems pretty clear this is a politically motivated action, though. It's not really clear why Bernal, Elliott, and Mills feel so motivated to do it in the middle of winter, in the middle of a pandemic, and it's still in the middle of an economic crisis. I mean, it's all bad, and that's why homeless people are going to court to restore their rights, regardless of all those other conditions, because they need to do so. Because they need to be able to survive and walk upright as human beings who are afforded full rights and treated as people and not as either cattle or children or some sort of public nuisance. Anyway, the order by the U.S. District Magistrate in San Jose, it grants a temporary restraining order, a TRO, requiring the city, in particular Bernal, Parks and Rec boss Tony Elliott, from closing San Lorenzo Park and or the Benchlands, I'm quoting from the TRO here, or from taking any action whatsoever to remove persons or seize or destroy personal property belonging to homeless persons currently residing at these locations until further action of the court, which again, as I said, January 6th is when it comes back to them. I presume it's like 8:30 or 9 in the morning over there in San Jose in federal court. I may be making my way over there to watch the proceedings. Homeless people in these federal courts don't always do so well, though I think they have been successful in Sacramento, but the issue there has been, will the city police and the other authorities respect the court's finding that they should leave homeless people to shelter in place? And as I understand it, secondarily, they haven't. Unfortunately, they haven't been able to get any response from the Union of the Homeless president there, who has assured me she will get back to me, but hasn't done so in spite of repeated requests. Perhaps we can try again, and I probably will. But here, and I'm glad to see that after all the, I think, pressure exerted by Alicia Cole, finally, and others to get Anthony Prince, the attorney, to take action in Santa Cruz, at the very last minute it happened, although maybe it was prepared for over a longer period of time, that certainly declarations had been filled out for months and months before, after the destruction of the Ross camp a year and a half ago and the destruction of the Phoenix camp 6 months after that. That was about a year ago now. And with the anticipation that the city and the county, or city or the county, one or the other, were going to do the same thing. The county did move its camp, but it moved it up to De La Vega, the armory area. And so they did have an alternate location. The people that went with the camp were voluntary and did so because they wanted to. This is an involuntary closure. It's considerably different than the camp relocation. Plus, of course, they were given services, and there's no services being provided. By the which I don't mean, you know, fluffy feather downy beds and mints on the pillows. I mean basic things like potable water, showers, safety from police harassment and arrest, protection from the rain, access to electrical outlets. I'm not sure if they have that up there. I think they may. They have when they were down here near the county building. And more decent sanitation, though not as decent as even the most wretched bathrooms that are available in the parking structures and have been closed for much of the time. I'm not sure if they're open now or not. I'm getting conflicting reports. So enough of me. Let's turn to some of the interviews I did. I went down to the camp, which had become a sort of a barricaded zone with community members trying to make sure that they encouraged the community to rest the community to join them, and some did, to stop the police from doing their phase two destruction of the camp. And it wasn't made clear to me at the time, but it may have also been a coordinated effort to give the attorneys chance to get to court and get this TRO, which apparently Mills, I think, the police chief, reluctantly is respected, although he did march in, seize fences that had been put up as barricades, fences that were removed from the county property, which was set up to fence off a barren piece of grass. It wasn't even grass. It was the area next to the bocce courts. I call it the lawn bowling area. And next to the campground, as it's currently called. It calls itself, or some people there call it, Freedom Camp. That's the far end of the camp, which hasn't yet been decimated. Anyway, some of these fences were removed and used as barricades by the intrepid activists in the community concerned about stopping the police. You can say, well, why don't they just wait for the law process to play out? Well, by that time, the camp would have been dispersed, and there would have been nothing left for them to restrain. The police have already have done their dirty work. So it was, frankly, I don't want to say miraculous, but it was certainly kind of impressive to me that this got done. I've been sort of cynical of the energy put into some of it because I've thought the police are going to come in anyway and disperse it. I've heard, you know, many a time that there's going to be some court action taken, and for a year and a half, no court action has been taken, in spite of requests from two prints and other attorneys that they do so. But this time it got done, and hats off and compliments to those who did it. Anyway, let's wander on through the park, or you can wander with me, or you can hear what I was talking about with these folks Monday morning. That was on December 28th. So folks had set up barricades at, I understand, three entrances, maybe four, to the park. One was near the county building, one was off of Dakota Street, the other was at the near the Soquel Bridge area, that in children's playground area. And I approached at the county building area and had a chat with one of about half a dozen to a dozen folks who were sort of keeping an eye on what was going on and intending to urge the police or block the police, not sure exactly what the individual intentions of each one was, but here's the conversation we had.
How are folks doing?
Seems like many folks are like really inspired and like wanting to resist more and like are really feeling the community support and feeling people's willingness to come out for them, and I think that means a lot. So, yeah, so far all of the interactions that I've had have been, like, really, really, really positive.
And how long have you been out today?
I got out here at 2 in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how was life at 2 in the morning?
It was quiet. It was peaceful. It was beautiful.
It was raining?
It was actually not. It had just stopped raining. So we just got to be out here and watch the sunrise. It was really nice.
And were you alone, or did you have a bunch of folks with you?
An undisclosed number of people.
Aha! Well, at least you were there. Were you here last time this happened?
Yeah. Actually, I think I have to stop answering.
Okay, thank you for talking. Any reports you have?
I literally just got here, so no.
Oh,
sorry.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So three more folks have just arrived. And
hi, Robert. Guess who this is?
Uh-oh. No, I'm not going to tell. I won't say.
The party is here.
You are bundled. Look at that.
I'm right, sleeping here, so I slept in
there. For anybody who hasn't got the like basic overview, we've got four entrances that we're trying to cover. A is on Dakota at the main entrance there. B is on the other side of this walkway. C is here. And D is over by the group bathrooms that open up onto Dakota. So I'm glad that you all are here. This is awesome. If you're willing to just post up here, that's great. We're going to need people who, if there are extra signs, and I think we do have extra signs, and I can try to find them and bring some here. So we need people holding signs. We need people who are willing to be a human barricade if necessary. We need people who are filming. We need a lot of footage of this. And if people just want to stand here and bear witness and be a presence that shows this community that we're standing up for it, then that's great too. So there's lots of different sort of risk levels, so assess your own needs and your own capabilities and pick the thing that's right for you. Does anybody have any questions? No? Okay.
Yahoo!
Folks are beginning to...
So...
let's see.
Yeah, so last time there was a cop car that came out here, and then they drove away when I saw there were people here, and they came in from the other side of the walkway. So that's why we have fortifications over there, and we're trying to cover all our bases, basically.
Are people dispersed enough right now?
Yeah, I think this is a solid group if you guys just want to hang here. And I will be doing... Why is Abby yelling at the radio? I will be doing communications in general, so if we need more backup somewhere else...
Do you need a bullhorn?
Thank you.
Oh, actually...
Because I have a spare bullhorn here if anybody wants
good.
To use it.
Two bullhorns is better than one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll get on the bullhorn now.
Okay. Well, then we'll put you on the bullhorn.
You know I'm good at it. I can talk.
All right. I'm Robert, by the way.
Mary. Nice to meet you.
Greetings. Morning.
Morning.
Oh, boy. Well,
release interaction protocol, unless you, like, know that you're in a role specifically where you're going to be talking to the police. If they try to talk to you, just say, like, am I being detained? Am I free to go? Just don't interact.
And another technique I use is ask questions, don't answer them. It's now about 7:30, and I'm over at the Dakota Street entrance. I recognize you beneath that mask. What are you going to do with that umbrella? Are you going to throttle some police officer?
No, but if it's raining, I'm going to put it on.
Aha! Good idea.
And point at the sky with it.
Yeah.
So were you here last time?
No.
And why this time did you decide to come down? And what's your name, sir?
My name's Micah Posner.
Micah, why? What brings you here?
My daughter got an Instagram, and my dad told me on the phone he thought there was some kind of protest going on.
He's going to fly in from Mexico, perhaps?
No, he sent his genetic stock.
His proxy?
Yeah, he sent his proxy.
And have you done this kind of thing before in Santa Cruz?
I have. Every so often I get inspired to show up and just try to support or witness the immoral policies of our local city. What?
Local police department?
I don't really blame the police department. I more blame the city council and the city manager.
So, for example, you wouldn't blame the concentration camp guards, but rather the high officials?
Yeah, I think I'd be more likely to blame that. But yeah, I mean, you know, if the police have a necessary brutality, I would blame them as well. But yeah, I think in this case, it's more the duck and cover city council and the city manager.
So as long as they proceed with efficiency and speed and courteousness and a smile on their face to remove people's property and force people out of the park, that would be not something for which they should be held personally accountable.
No, but I'll try to stop them, you know, in various ways, including trying to be here, be part of blockade or whatever. I'm not upset at them, but I don't think they really have the right to do that. And, you know, maybe at some level they know they don't have the right to do it either, you know, because they're being servants for an institution that is not acting with respect.
Sounds like there's sort of a conflict in your mind of sorts, or at least a distinction.
No, I just don't have... I'm just not making it personal. I don't think the police have the right to remove people. I just don't think they're personally evil or whatever.
And of course, I recognize you as a former part of the political machine here, perhaps a somewhat dissident part at different times, but you were on the city council for 4 years.
That's right.
And you had some connection, or at least you had some communication at times, with our friend City Manager Martine Bernal, who's, of course, given the edict that was signed by Tony Elliott that these folks all have to be moved, but not really clarified to where they're going to go.
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it?
And what was your feeling, what was the nature of your relationship with Bernal? How did you find him in those days? And was it easy to work with him? How did he sort of size up as a city manager? Would you have anticipated he would do something like this?
Yeah, I'm not surprised given the makeup of the council. You know, it's sort of this... The staff really gauge where the council's at, and I think this council, you know, doesn't give a shit about poor people or homeless people and they want to just try to sweep them under the rug. I've heard various middle class people complaining to me, like, have you seen all those people in the park? It's terrible, you know. And so I think there's a, I think it's just the same old stuff, you know. It's really just trying to maintain appearances and, you know, trying not to upset the middle class people by having them see what extreme poverty is.
Well, I know when you were on the council, that was a period of time during which some pretty repressive legislation was passed concerning the parks. So, for instance, it was made a crime to interfere with a park official. You actually spoke out in favor of such legislation because you felt that the park officials, perhaps similar to your support for the police, at least not as what they're doing today, but not to be held at least culpable in the same way that the city manager, let's say, is to be held culpable. And correct me if I'm wrong on any of this. So during that period of time, of course, it was made, a new crime was created, the stay-away order in the parks, which I think you voted against, actually. And that has been the case ever since. Persons can, if they get any kind of infraction in any of the parks, they're told to stay away first. I think they've extended it to 72 hours if you're within so-and-so feet of a school or children's. I mean,
I don't really feel like this is legal because the past council passed a law saying that you can't close a park unless you have a reason, and then it has to go to the city council. So it has to be for maintenance, and it's supposed to go to the city council. So from talking to Councilmember Brown, it seems like the sort of flimsy legal envelope under which Martine Bernal, city manager, can issue this order has to do with COVID-19, which is extremely ironic because Gail, the county health official, has asked them not to screw with the homeless right now, not to try to move them because it creates more, less safety around COVID-19. So in as much as this is legal, I think it's under COVID-19, which is very ironic because obviously moving people who don't have homes around makes the, you know, will spread the pandemic to some degree, which is like.
About a year and a half ago, when the council was defeating transitional campgrounds and sort of laying the way ultimately for, completely sidelining Christopher Crone and Drew Glover's proposals to deal with homeless issues, both in terms of social services, human rights, because they hoped that they had a majority, at least on that issue, with Justin Cummings and Sandy Brown. But, of course, they didn't, because Cummings had long, I don't want to say long since, but by March or April, it had shown quite clearly that he was more concerned with doing deals with the county and playing nice with the reactionary Cynthia Matthews and Donna Myers, who's now the mayor, of course, than any of that stuff. But they did, as a sort of a sop to the council majority and perhaps to coax Justin Cummings, who was then the kind of swing vote in the council, to stick with them and essentially shut down the Ross camp in spite of the fact that they had no alternate shelter, but they had to pretend that they did. In order to do that, they said, well, if you're going to close any parks, you should let the city council know about it before you do. And I think they said consult with rather than take it to city council for a vote, but there's no indication that they consulted with the city council on this issue. I should say that Martine Bernal and Tony Elliott did that consulting.
I'm Matt Nathanson's here opposing this as well, who's a nurse who, you know, deals with the homeless.
I was about to ask you whether any health officials, of course, Matt is no longer head of the Homeless Persons Health Project. That was, he's been retired for a year and a half. Have you seen any other city employees or officials here today? Have you noticed?
No, I haven't seen any more city officials here. I'm trying to get a hold of, I think there's been some, like, Gail, what's her name, the county health official? Newell has asked the city not to do this. I'm trying to get a hold of something in writing, and I'll share it with the press if I find it.
Yeah, a quote that has been repeated a lot in literature, flyers against this deportation of the homeless was a conversation that Abby Samuels, ACLU board member and active cop watcher, had with County Health Official Gail Newell. She asked, can you please, this was actually in an email, can you please let me know why the city is evicting people at the encampment at San Lorenzo against CDC guidelines? It's the cleanest encampment I've seen in Santa Cruz. CDC says dispersing encampments leads to more spreading of COVID. The shelters are all full. Newell replied, according to Abby's email, hi, Abby, I agree with you and share your concerns. This was a decision of the city of Santa Cruz, independent of the county for which I work. Public health was not consulted about this. If we had been, we would have advised against this for the very reasons you cite.
Dinners, perhaps?
Well, one would think that in the middle of a pandemic that the city manager and the city council would respect her authority enough, or her knowledge enough, to not do it when that was her advice. But,
and he's talking here about Gail Newell and how she tried to influence Martine Bernal through internal means and so forth. And I was sort of sarcastically pointing out that she could have come out and been much more explicit and specific and made a strong public statement herself, but chose not to. And as usual, Micah is defending these city officials and county officials. I think he's just trying to be humanitarian, but when you're humanitarian to cogs in a machine that are a juggernaut to destroy the survival encampments of 200 people, you're doing the wrong thing.
You know, apparently they're more...
They don't, and she's... I guess she has made a sort of a semi-public statement to Abby Samuels that was then reprinted everywhere, and I guess there's been a... There was a response from Bernal on the 24th, who put out, you probably read it, a lengthy, relatively empty, in my view, series of justifications for this.
And I was going to try to read that, but I think, mercifully, I can't find it right now. But it's if you go to the city's website, you'll probably find it. It's a frequently asked questions, and I think he's claiming that that the homeless don't have to shelter in place really, and that there was just very little of substance in there. It just seemed to be more verbiage and at greater length. But maybe on Sunday I'll pull it up and look at it if it's worth doing at all.
Expanding on the 13 bullet points that he put out in the initial announcement.
And it's related to, his rationale is related to COVID, right? I didn't read it.
It was related to numerous things. The point was, it was the same vague statements that I would criticize you and others at the council for voting in favor of more police measures in the parks without just getting anecdotal evidence.
This is a reference, and Micah didn't get into this, of how he and other council members, you know, Sandy Brown included, don't tend to demand police statistics before they vote unanimously to further restrictions against the homeless. This has been less true in the last year or two, but it's still pretty bad. The staff pretty much gets what it wants without any serious questioning from the city council. And the city manager, of course, even more so, since the council isn't in session, although it could go into session at any time if Mayor Donna Myers, or for that matter, Sandy Brown, who I've suggested can do this on her Facebook page, calls for there to be a city council meeting. At least they have to respond in some way. And she hasn't done this yet. So
a lot of us show up, which I hope people do. And hopefully the press will see it and all that. And then the police will just wait and come back another time. And I'm not really that committed.
Maybe like an hour and a half or something.
Yeah, I'm not really that committed.
People go off to build their houses and things.
Right. Yeah. So my you know, I'm here sort of symbolically. I'm not really, you know.
You're not really here at all. It's an illusion. I'm talking to you. You're a presence for the moment, but you're kind of like a flicker and an image. You're here and then you're gone.
Right.
Sort of like me, actually.
Oh, I don't think so, man. You've been here for years. You're awesome.
You've been here for years as well.
Yeah, but I haven't been standing up for the ethical treatment of homeless people.
I am the man. There's no question. But aside from that,
you're really inspiring in that way. Thanks.
I'm deeply inspired by myself, but nonetheless, we have been talking with
Micah Posner.
Any other thoughts about around this issue that we haven't covered?
I just, when I talk to people, you know, the middle class people in Santa Cruz. It's true they don't like the idea of homeless people sleeping all over the park. However, they do think the government should be taking care of people and having places for them to go. So the really, I think the part of this that is really unethical and contrary to what the public wants is the idea of kicking people out without having another place for them, hopefully a better place that had more amenities, you know, or whatever. So I actually, even though the city council is kind of doing this as a way to sort of please the public in a shallow way, I don't really think the public supports just you know, kicking homeless out without having a place to go, and neither does the Supreme Court, as you know, or the Western, you know, the court system doesn't support it either. They've said it's against the Constitution. So I sort of feel like, and this is often my problem with the council and the city manager, I feel like they're doing something shallow for their own public relations, you know, outfit, but they're not really acting with what people want. People want places for homeless people to be. Like when that initiative happened about housing in the city of Santa Cruz, it passed by over 2/3, and part of it was because people thought that they were willing to spend money to have a place for homeless people to be. So
remind us of what initiative you're talking about.
It was Measure G, I think. It was to provide, it was a housing bond.
What year?
It was countywide. It was recent. It was 2018. So it was the Don Lane, Fred Keeley thing. So but anyways, I just feel like when I talk to all these people, they're like, yeah, we don't want to see them there. It's a bummer, you know, but let's find a place for them to be. So this is really a failure of our society. And I think even, yeah, I just think it's a damn failure. And, you know, it's the homeless that suffer for our collective failure. But I don't think anyone really wants this to happen. It's just that they don't care enough, and they're just kicking the homeless around because it's easier than dealing with the problem.
Well, at least some of us care enough to come down and do the occasional recording, and others to make a brief guest appearance for a few minutes, see if the police will actually show up on time, and then maybe leave and come back later,
right.
Something like that.
Yeah, like as I said, I just wanted to come down to express, at least to myself, no one else, that, like, you know, it's wrong.
Ticket to heaven, so to speak. Redemption in the eyes of the Lord. Okay, in the view of the Father.
No, I guess just I feel like when I'm so disgusted when I ride by here all the time and see the way homeless people are treated, at least I can feel like, well, you know,
you did,
show the police.
You were there at the beginning, or at least
there.
In the middle.
At least I'm glad
to see you here. In spite of my critique, and yeah. Again, we've been talking with
Micah Posner.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Brown. Put the angel on your tree. Won't you please accept this gift of Michael's memory from me? Merry Christmas, Mrs. Garner. May your family always cherish every holiday smile that you ever shared with Eric. Dear Geneva, how I wish you a holiday full of love and joy and cheer, remembering the sweet, sweet times when Sandra was with us here. New Year's Eve, Mr. Martin, when you look up at the sky, see the fireworks that sparkle bright, like the light in Trayvon's eye. To the family and the friends who remember Freddie Gray, I hope you know you're not alone when you're kneeling down to pray. Merry Christmas, Tatiana. You remind me of my daughter. And no child, I said no child should ever have to spend Christmas without their father. Sitting on a train in Paris, where the streets are cold and bare, and I wonder if it's gonna ever feel like Christmas again out here.
And that was Aloe Black from the album Christmas, and the name of the song, Merry Christmas, Mr. Brown, final cut on that EP, which was recorded in Paris on Black Friday 2015, shortly after the terror attacks, playing specific tribute to Michael Brown, Eric Garner, Sandra Bland, Trayvon Martin, Freddie Gray, and their families. And now back to San Lorenzo Park.
Thank you. A proxy for that old grizzly fighter, Phil Posner.
That's right. Proxy for
Phil. Have any message to us from his hideaway in Mar-a-Lago? No, I'm sorry. What is it? Baja?
No, it's not Baja. He lives in some strange village called Tehotepec, where he could get a house for cheap. And
his freedom vacationer, so to speak.
Yeah, I think his message is like, you know, well, can't we do, you know, what are people doing? Can't we do something? You know, he's just continually slightly hopeful and confused by the...
Helping move some of the fences into place to, should we say, discourage police harassment and help the city retain its clean image, at least its clean conscience?
No, but I'll stand behind him and try to provide a human element.
Yeah, let's start at that corner and move.
So fences are being put up along here to these look like fences are being moved from perhaps the county building area. Thank you, Micah. And they're being put up along the sidewalk. I thought the police were putting up these fences, but I think it's to deter public workers from removing the tents. Tote that fence. And we... Folks are, exactly. And the fences are, should we say, all the way from, I guess, the Hotel Paradox parking lot down to the children's, well, it's not the children's playground. It's, well, I guess it's the fencing of the children's playground. And it's not to contain the ominous and evil homeless encampment, but rather it is to keep the, deter police from, and public workers from, unseemly behavior in the park, i.e. removing survival camp. And the signs say no eviction, complying with state order, shelter in peace, shelter in place, do not disturb. This is a peaceful protest, is the large banner on a sheet. Go sweep yourself, follow CDC and Dr. Gail Newell, shelter in place, do not disperse. And there are still numerous tents set up on the other side in the park, of course. So fences have been set up here. Hey. So what are your thoughts about all this? If you have any that you wish to say.
My thoughts are more emotions than thoughts at this point. sadness. It's sadness, basically. I am a neighbor. I live just the other side of ocean. And I just had to represent. That's all.
Were you here a week ago when something similar was happening?
I was not. I should have been. I wasn't.
I'm not criticizing you one way or the other.
That's all right. That's all
right. Are you an old-timer in Santa Cruz?
Oh, yeah.
So you've lived here for a number of years.
I've lived here since the mid-70s. I actually talked with you way back. I remember.
Really?
Oh, we had a discussion about tactics. It's got to be like 1990. I don't know.
Wow. Came to you looking for tax help, or?
What?
You see, we talked about taxes.
Tactics.
Oh, tactics. Tactics. I thought you were a tax attorney hiding there.
No.
Was it an issue where I know this park was the site 30 years ago of a big protest on 4th of July when we attempted to overturn the sleeping ban way back then.
It was definitely connected with the sleeping ban. I forget the details. I was living on Columbia at the time and involved with Santa Cruz Action Network, SCAN.
I remember them anyway.
Yeah, it sort of fizzled out.
I mean, SCAN against the sleeping ban eventually, but they were ignored by the people, the candidates they elected. Two of them didn't. Sugar and Crone did not for a while, but they quickly were pulled into line by Catherine Byers when she returned to a more conservative mode on the West Side.
Yeah, that's probably a fair summary of the history.
Part of it, anyway.
Part of it. I know. And I still basically support Chris, but...
Do you know any of the people that are doing this? Do you recognize any familiar faces? Any of your neighbors sneaking out to help?
I don't recognize any neighbors, although it's kind of hard to recognize people when we're all dressed up against the cold and the virus.
I recognize your voice, kind of, but I don't recognize...
I understand. I recognize a couple of people, but not... I'm sure there are more people here that I recognize.
Day in the strife.
I'm sorry, no skateboards in the park.
Oh, okay.
Or dogs.
But on the park.
On the park fence. That's perhaps a little different. And we've been talking with, if you want to say who you are, give yourself a name.
My name's Pete Shanks.
I don't remember who you are, Pete. And thank you for coming.
Oh, I had to.
All right. 5 to 8. And there's... only one city truck is parked near here that I've seen so far, and I'm entering the park. They wizard in Santa Claus outfit. Hey.
Hello.
Just what are you doing here in the park? It's illegal for you two to be here. Why are you here?
That's actually exactly why we're here. Thank you so much for asking.
Well, what's your name and your serial number?
My name is Pussy, and my serial number is 420.
And you, madam?
Am I jaywalking again?
Yes, for sure. You're half standing, and that is not permitted in this particular park. Although it is open, but the path is open, but don't go into the side, okay? Please don't interfere with the police officers.
What? That's one of my favorite pastimes.
So are you here to engage in illegal and civil disobedient activity of some kind?
Well, I believe our disobedient activity is very legal considering our amendment right to protest, and that's what this is. This is just a peaceful protest in solidarity with the unhoused community.
Are you a housed or unhoused individual?
I am a unhoused individual. I have been for about a year and a half now.
And how have they treated you as an unhoused individual?
If we're talking in reference to the police officers, very, very poorly. I feel like they have been traumatizing and dehumanizing my community, our community, for a very long time. And it makes me very proud to see the turnout we have here today of housed people on top of it.
Now, are you a resident of the park?
I am. I initially moved out of the park to take some time for self-care. However, I just recently moved back in the midst of this park closure that I'm here to protest.
So were you here last week, or this is your reappearance?
I was here part-time last week because I have a bunch of friends that I've been camping with for the past year or so that I would come and stay with. But now I'm a permanent resident until something changes.
And how do the numbers here compare with last week?
Last week, I think... I think right now what we have at Gate B is about the turnout we had last week. And this week, it seems that that has tripled, almost quadrupled. And this is just the beginning. I think more people will be showing up as the day goes.
At least as a symbolic 8 o'clock appearance, to be here for 5 minutes. Then when the police don't show up, they will disappear. And then the police will magically reappear.
Yeah, that's actually happened many times before. So we're actually getting a signal chat open to people here in order to join so that we can organize this camp out. These are all open tents available for protesters to come move into. And
you're pointing to about, looks like, 6 or 7 blue tents that are set up on the area between this path and the children's playground fence off.
Yeah, and as well as these tents all along this metal fencing here.
There's about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe 7.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so these are open invite for anybody that's willing to
so
come.
You're providing housing for the skunks, brunks, and trunks that are going to... Why don't you tend them back where they came from?
Because this is where we came from. This is just people trying to survive and live day to day. And I don't think anybody should be treated as any less just for trying to survive.
And I see you are not masking. Does this indicate a certain preference for breathing free?
I was actually just enjoying my coffee and didn't think to put it up over my face.
Oh, you don't mind giving me the evil COVID, eh?
I don't know. I guess that depends on how your attitude escalates. No, I'm just kidding.
Actually, you have now donned a black mask. Does that mean you're some sort of an anarchist dog?
I am an anarchist. However, I am also a human, not a dog. But a bitch sometimes, I will admit.
Are you suggesting that dogs do not have as much rights as human beings? Which they don't, of course.
They don't, unfortunately. I don't know any dog that owns any land.
Well, dogs, in fact, are slaves universally in this country.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Our country knows a lot about slavery.
And well, we've been talking with the little-known but now soon to be heralded...
Pussy Pan.
Anything you want to add, Pussy?
I am so grateful for everybody who showed up here today, and I'm so grateful for every person who stops and says hello to a homeless person when they're walking down the street, because it's all a form of solidarity that's so important.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Pussy.
Thank you.
And that was Radar Gun from Bottle Rockets. Back to the park.
Welcome to the park. I should say welcome to your park.
I tried to get some people to sign them, but they were not down.
That's okay. No problem. Thank you for trying.
Yep. Here you are.
You want to sign?
Is this for the signal chat?
This is not for the signal chat. This is for... So, are you a resident yourself of the park?
No, I'm here in solidarity.
And again, your first visit, or you were here a week ago?
I was here a week ago.
And what's your impression of the difference between now and then?
This is spectacular. Last time it fell apart pretty quickly, but now we got the numbers, and I think that's what we were hoping for today.
You lost your Santa's hat. I want you to put that back on right now.
Very crucial.
Yes, indeed. I mean, that is part of the outfit. Very nice.
Looking out, it's too small.
Well, it is red and the rest of the outfit is black, but still.
Yes.
Red and black, traditional colors for those on lefty side of the spectrum.
I wouldn't know anything about the left.
Well, we'll teach you everything, and you will repeat after me.
Kropotkin!
He wasn't a lefty?
Anarcho-communist.
Indeed.
Conquest of bread. Mutual aid. A factor in evolution.
You need help getting through here?
We have a man with a shopping cart coming by, and the barricade is going to be lifted for that individual, as well as a local resident. Hey, George. I'm hanging out, you know, trying to get laid as usual. That's.
No, you get in there. You get in there.
I might. You never can tell. Thank you. Anything else you want to add?
They need to stop sweeping folks, especially during the pandemic. That's all I have to say. Because people need a place to recuperate, to grow, and to rebuild their lives. And if they keep getting swept, all the trauma that's caused by the sweeps, etc., they're never going to be able to rebuild. And that's the bottom line. That's one of the main reasons I'm here.
You're a longtime Santa Cruzan? Or?
I've been in the county about 5-6 years.
You know, sounds like a sensible thing to say, or a sensible thing to do, actually. And again, we've been talking with, if you want to say.
I am light.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So it's now about 8:05. No sign of my friends, the police. Hey. Come in if you wish. You can come through the barricades. So we have a witness on the other side of the fence. I'm now, of course, in the park talking to someone outside.
Barbara Lawrence.
And Barbara, what gets you to come this early on a wet, rainy Monday?
I don't know, Robert. It's just, this is my town, and I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed we can't come up with a better solution. So I'm at a loss, disappointment and a loss. So.
Well, you're not the only one.
Yeah.
You know, I'm hearing that at least from at least one other person this morning. They've only talked to a few people so far.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm an old WILF member, and I'm just bearing witness. That's
for those who don't know, Women's International League for Peace
and Freedom. Exactly, yeah.
You can hear me.
Yeah, I think they can, whatever that is.
I mean, they can hear you.
Well, thanks for, you know, doing the long haul. You've been an activist on this issue for as long as I can remember.
At least the occasional term.
Well, that's okay, because you're notorious. So notorious people have a responsibility for, like you and Keith, you know, that just hang in there.
Now, is Wilt still meeting?
Not virtually, we're meeting. We're not meeting.
WILP is the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, kind of a lefty group that, that both men and women were in it, a bit too establishment locally. kind of Communist Party related to some extent, where we're talking about a very reformist Communist Party that was not terribly revolutionary. But Wilf on occasion did support ending the sleeping ban, and it's more kind of on the respectable side of things. In the years I've been doing demonstrations and petitioning and orating and that sort of thing, protesting, I haven't found that being respectable is terribly helpful, at least not for me. Maybe for others it's helpful, but usually the respectable folks sort of cringe away at crucial moments, and so at least if they want to maintain their respectability, at least I found a lot of that.
Grannies aren't singing in group, and yeah, we're having virtual meetings.
Will the grannies be here to sing to the police?
I don't think so. We're all too compromised, you know. We all have health issues. We all have age issues.
And we're talking here about the Raging Grannies, which is a singing group which we played on the air a number of times, or on the net anyway.
So my dentist called me to say he exposed me to...
charming. And now you're exposing
now
me, you bad one.
Well, I got some, and I took a test. I've been 10 days, whatever, free.
I still hope that you may be one of the many immunized to the great bird.
Maybe. I don't know. I've weathered a lot of social and health injustice, but it's okay. Thank you for being here. Carry on. What do you do with this when you get done with it?
It'll be going on the Huff archive, where you can actually hear it.
Oh, really?
I'll give you my card if you want to hear it later.
Okay. Has that got, like, where you go to hear? Do you have an archive of other?
Oh, yeah, endless. All the way back to the 80s.
Yeah.
And, in fact, this... is now being netcast again. Our equipment is, strangely enough and unexpectedly, working again, although we're still not broadcasting. We need a studio, and we need a phone line, and we need a place to put up our antenna to do the broadcasting. So if you have any ideas or suggestions, I repeat, give me a call at 423-4833, and I'll pass it on to the Free Radio Collective, and maybe you'll get us back on the air again. There's also a reward for finding a studio space, $300 reward. You got to find it for a year for us, but if you do, get some money. So that one's been offered for, I guess, a couple of years now with no takers, but it's being offered. We gave it away once before when we found an earlier studio space, but... I guess we were younger then, and we're so much older now.
And if you have any questions, just call me on my number.
Okay. Thanks, Robert. Carry on.
All right, you too, Barbara.
All right.
And then once their numbers have dwindled, then they come and they take the camp. So the clipboard is making its way around here in Gate A, and I would really appreciate it if you have the Signal app or if you're willing to download it so that we can all be in communication and keep this going long after today is done. Thank you, guys. Oh, also, if you plan on taking pictures or videos, please do not record anybody grabbing fencing or doing any illegal activities. We do not want to criminalize this movement, so please keep at least faces out of the pictures if you can. Thank you. And if you're around the gate and you see an unhoused person trying to come and move their stuff, please make space for them and help them in any way possible. Like this gentleman. Hi, Daniel.
He picked up the sleeping gear that one parent, possible resident, is moving out of the park into the Dakota Street area.
And people were leaving because this was Monday, the 28th was the deadline, another deadline date, and that was why people are gathering as well on this date and also trying to get in touch by Signal. I'm going to be calling, hoping to have an interview with someone who's down at the park now to see what the current situation is. It's my guess, and I haven't found this out yet, though we'll see, that the risk of the police moving in to remove people and property, given a an actual restraining order from a federal court is less likely, or I'd say more, certainly definitely unlikely. But there may still be folks who are spending time in the park at night in order to be in solidarity with folks there and to alert other community members if police suddenly show up to do goodness knows what. That is not of a terribly helpful nature, as unfortunately police usually aren't with respect to homeless folks. So there's also supposed to be a celebration of sorts happening down at San Lorenzo Park today in the afternoon. I don't know if it's going into the evening, into the New Year's Eve festivities. And I've tried to get a hold of some folks to find out what exactly is the status down there, but I have not been able to reach people. The numbers that I normally get some connection with at different points are ringing and ringing, or going to answering machines or something to that effect. So we'll just stick with a little, not ancient history, but recent history, and listen to more of this Monday, which was really the key day, since that was the day that police were, in fact, turned back by people forming a human chain and also pursuing the police around the park, denouncing their behavior and trying to, in essence, physically interpose themselves between the police and the tents of the people they were either warning, questioning, shaking, and so forth. And then standing them off and at the sidewalk as they stayed in the street with their 13 or more squad station wagons, which were blocking the entire road along Dakota Street. And it was successful, and it was quite impressive. I haven't seen that happen in Santa Cruz quite this way ever, although it may have well happened before. I just may not have been present or not heard about it. I think it was particularly impressive because the police did not come the next day, and that was important because it took that whole day apparently to finish the injunction, which was served on Wednesday. When the police did come, and they did a walkthrough, I guess, of the park, and this delaying action, I think, was effective in creating another delay, which is this delay until the court comes back into session on January 6th, I guess it is. So the next guy I ran into was a reporter for the new, relatively new, online news service Lookout. I think it's lookout.com or lookout.org, who is either videoing or photographing away, and I chatted with him.
Lookout.co.
Before this, were you doing similar work for other local
Sentinel?
You abandoned the Sentinel for Lookout, or is it sort of a day job?
No, I abandoned the Sentinel for Lookout.
Do you think Lookout can do a better job than the Sentinel, or you just have more freedom there?
Absolutely.
And we see our first thought of the black and white station wagon driving by. Perhaps surveying the scene. Maybe they're going to join us. I'm afraid they'll join us perhaps in a different capacity. What are your thoughts?
I have none.
You have no. You're a thoughtless type, or thought-free might be a better way.
None.
But you still know how to verbalize. You shake your head. Thank you. Any thoughts for the former Free Radio?
No thoughts at present.
Any feelings?
Definitely no feelings at present.
Any complaints?
Many.
Anything you wish to vocalize?
No. Thanks, Robert.
Any thoughts you may have? You're maintaining a discreet silence. Thank you. Wish to say anything on this occasion? You look sad. Thank you. So we have, I'm going to start counting the number of people here. We have a man in a raincoat here. Anything you want to say for Free Radio?
At the moment, thank you.
All right, how you doing?
A little beat, tired.
You look tired.
Yeah.
Have you had some of the, I don't know if it's coffee or water over there?
No, not yet.
Yeah, well, good morning to you.
Thank you.
All right, man. Mind if I ask you questions of a probing nature?
Yeah,
your name again?
My name is Nick Moosting.
And I'm with a group called Age to Change 831, as well as with Wes White here, the Salinas Monterey County Home Senior.
And you came over today with Wes White, who's sticking his nose into part with his questionable video machine and his website and so forth.
Yeah, that's what it's about. You know, we can't, you know, continue to let cops harass, you know, our in-house folks here, the residents here in San Lorenzo and anywhere. So we're just here to document, to make sure that we let the city and the police department know that we won't stand for this, that people have a right to be here and a right to stay shelter in place during this pandemic and, you know, at any time. So, yeah, that's why we're here.
How many came over with you today?
So I rolled by myself, but, you know, Wes, you know, we all kind of coordinated to come and meet here. Also, you know, organized with Simply of Service, so we had a couple folks there. So four folks in general, and we have one more person here who is on their way, so about five of us. Mm-hmm.
And so the number again is?
Five.
Uh-huh,
yeah.
So it's not the 30 or 40 that I had earlier been misinformed. It looks like there's a gathering of people in uniforms on the sidewalk over there. Apparently beginning to cluster, as somehow termites may cluster in a building they wish to eat. I don't know how they can get any sustenance from this bunch of tents and so forth. So, looks like there are a number of people here already. I'll again try to count them. 1 voice cries out. Domestic terrorism is apparently the watchword of the police as they're moving toward the other entrance. So there are 4 entrances, and they're all walking towards another one. Again, I haven't had time to start counting people, but I'm counting, estimating 10, 20, 30, 40.
Right past this light pole with the cameras on it. Not all of us, but if some of you guys could please distribute over there so that we have numbers on all entrances.
And I'm going to hit the sidewalk and see if I can follow the police that way.
I just got out of jail last night.
So, what do you think of all this?
About what?
Protest.
Oh, it's amazing, dude, that somebody feels the same way that we do about, you know, human rights and stuff. I honestly don't know too much what this is about. What is this about, actually?
This is for about the park being, all these tents being moved by the police.
Hell no, I don't think that's cool at all, dude, because there's, you know, we have no place to go and stuff, and this place is awesome, bro, because, you know, it's like a little community, and, you know, we gotta worry about.
Like the police cars are leaving.
We're not doing anything. It's so peaceful here, dude. I walk here at nighttime. It's like walking here during the day with freaking kids and stuff, dude. It's so peaceful here, dude. No, I never seen anything violent happen here at all. And everybody, dude, they have some place to sleep and, you know, some place to live, and I think that's nice.
Have you ever used the park yourself?
Yeah, I've slept here before and stuff. I personally just sleep wherever I could, but if I had a tent set, I would definitely live here, you know?
Now, you said you just got out of jail. What was the charge, if you want to say?
Oh, I was drinking in public. I just sobered up and they let me go.
Are you drinking in public and making an ass of yourself?
No, I was just drinking a tall can at the corner and the cop arrested me, you know? Yeah. I asked if you can let me go. He said, no, he take me to station and wait till I sober up. I'm like, dude, I'm not even drunk. He just wanted me, he just wanted to take me.
And which did we take to the station or take to the jail?
The Santa Cruz jail.
Were you held in solitary or in a group cell?
We're just regular with everybody coming in and out.
Was everybody masked or were people without masks?
They had masks. They had masks.
What about the people in the cells?
They had masks. Yeah, they gave you masks before you came in.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, you know?
How many people were in the cell with you?
Not too many, maybe 3 or 4 at the most.
And did they get any idea of what they were there for?
I have no idea. One dude, same thing, drinking, and then another dude, I have no idea.
And have you noticed you've been arrested by police before?
Some other times, pretty much for the same thing. Yeah.
By the Santa Cruz police?
I'm originally from Los Angeles. So I got arrested a couple times for drinking in public too. But I'm 31, so this is my whole life, you know.
Thank you.
And yeah.
So how would you compare how the police treated you in this situation here with your other experience?
Pretty much the same.
Yeah. Dad, good, so.
Yeah, sometimes you know, sometimes they let you go, sometimes they don't. We give you cut your break, but I think they're all the same, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've been talking with, if you want to say who you are.
My name is Joshua Rios.
Thank you, Joshua. I'm Robert.
Nice to meet you, Robert. Sorry I couldn't ask him. I'm kind of like, you know, a little nervous and stuff, but I feel like I'm on TV and stuff, you know.
Well, this is we aren't exactly TV, but we're, you know, teeny tiny. It's a homeless group. Yeah, we're kind of a netcast group.
Oh, that's cool.
When we cast and we archive. Right now we're archiving. So.
Okay, all right, that's nice.
So again, it's Josh.
Josh, yep. Josh.
Thank you, Josh.
Yeah, no problem, guys.
All right.
God bless you.
Pausing now for a little music, and then we'll go back to the park where police were beginning to appear, and soon the police will be in the park and confronting the people who are there.
If I try to fight back, well then I'm dead black. I got the right to an attorney and to stay silent. They got the right to try to burn me if I play violent. I know the game, so I just roll with the procedure. A legal search and seizure, something that they doing at their leisure. Down at the station and segregation is taking place. Overcrowded jails, but for me to make the space. Tell the devil to his face, he can suck my dick. It's the whole black race that they fucking with. Come to find my crime was letting brothers know the time on the devil and stopping them from eating swine. And plus my prior record sealed my fate. One for all and in God we trust. Got me sent upstate. But still I won't bite my tongue. I just write tight shit to incite the young to fight the one who keeps them on the level that's minimal. And that's the number one. Niggas be swole up, locked down cause of a hole up. The devil made me do it, what I say. Got some bad news on my one phone call the other day. I love the kids and I teach them to love their father. I'll get you some kicks and try to send some flicks, but it's over. Baby, yes, it's over. Ain't much you can do when you're holding the phone. A million inmates, but you're still alone. You're not crying, but inside you're dying. You might cry in the night when you're safe and out of sight. Damn, I miss my peeps and the rides and the jeeps and my casual freedom. Where's my crew when I need them? A visit ain't the same like being in the game, but I'll take it. At least with that, I'll make it. The beast is a bitch and I see it. I do the knowledge to him, so next time I can do him. Yo, X, I got the lock in now, but write me real soon. I know that you're a busy man. Give me a minute. You could never know the key now, you've been locked the fuck up in it.
Yeah.
So that was Brand Nubian claiming I'm a criminal from his album Everything Is Everything. And we'll see how things are back at San Lorenzo now. So sometime between 8 and 9, I left on Monday for a while, drove around briefly, then found that the area on the way back was blocked by a squad car. So I parked across the street at Trader Joe's, across the river, actually, and walked across the footbridge and then joined essentially you'll hear what I joined.
Someone with a megaphone. And appear to be about, looks like the city crews are removing the fences at the Dakota Street entrance, and there's a human barricade there. How long has this been happening there?
Say what?
How long have they been removing fences?
10, 15 minutes maybe?
I did see the police cars blocking off the street at both ends, or at least at that end. Well, I better go over and interview some of the public workers. Or whatever.
Yeah, that's that person. There she is. She needs a drug test.
Indeed. Dig it. And in the street we have a number of police cars blocking the road. And numerous police officials. Some police, and over here, closer to the Paradox Hotel,
we have
police are entering the park. Go home, guys. Do something with your time. Don't harass the people here. Thank you.
We're going to need to collect that information for a signal chat, if that's okay.
Call me. And police are in the park. They're going from trying to bully people into leaving. Shaking tents.
Do not displace.
Stop harassing people's property.
Do not displace.
There's a police canine unit guy. Ignore them. You have a right to be in place. And over here we see two more police officers. Say who you are, guys.
Second rule.
Show us your badge numbers. Show us your names. Ask these armed thugs to leave and go do their job somewhere else. Creating a crime wave here. We have individuals harassing people in their tents. Maybe we should call the police. So this is the so-called warning that's being given. With no public notice, no public debate.
And that water is the sound of the duck pond.
And people are sort of at a loss as to what to do, the support people. Document the officers! Stay with them!
And several groups of activists were following around officers with video. Officers are going from tent to tent, shaking the tent gently. They weren't tearing it open or anything. Sticking their heads in some tents, looking around as though they had a perfect right to do what they were doing. I guess which they feel they do.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Thank you.
Every time a tent is harassed, get the names of the officers doing the harassing. You have a right to shelter in place. The community's health demands it. These cops are helping to spread COVID. Thank you, officers. Document the officers. Get their names and numbers. Picture them as they harass the people.
Hey. Take a seat. Anybody inside?
Officers snooping inside tents. Oh, they're very politely moving to harass people and move them into nowhere. That's the plan. But see how courteous and how politely they do it. And of course, the Sentinel is making a nice record of everything.
Genocidal tactics. This is what you guys are doing. This place.
Come on, Sentinel, report the retruth this time. Jessica York.
Where's the
get the report from Gail Newell, Jessica York. Why isn't that in the Sentinel? Jessica York, get honest.
Cops pressing the jet on footbridge, following four police officers.
Get the badge numbers and names of the cops doing the harassing. Hold them accountable.
Those are the same cops on the truck my arm the other day.
Hey, Blue. Hey, man. So this seems to be the preliminary warning, perhaps. To be followed by... Hey there.
Hi.
Nice hat.
Thank you.
So, it looks like the police are clogging up traffic! Move those damn cars!
So they just walk through and warn everybody, and then they're going to come back in a few hours after we've gone.
And I suspect that's what they're going to do. Have they said that?
That's what they did last week, apparently.
Right.
But they moved them... Everybody had to move to this side, so maybe now everybody can move back.
Hey, musical grab.
I don't know. What the hell are they thinking? What